You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, where we bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up to Nahariya, down south to Eilat, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. Of course, as we do every Friday, we talk about Israeli soccer, and then we go into Maccabi Tel Aviv in the Euroleague, and boy, is the Rabbi really hot and fired up today after a night of non-sleep to discuss Maccabi Tel Aviv, but we'll do that on the second half of the show. Don't want to ruin anything now because, of course, Saturday night, Israel, Scotland in a huge World Cup qualifying match, massive implications in front of a packed Hampden Park, and that's going to be a key here in this conversation. Israel needs to get a win if they have any designs on making it into the playoff spot of World Cup qualifying and Qatar 2022. We're going to go through the games that were this week. Of course, the big, big game up at Sammy Ofer Stadium between Maccabi Haifa and Hapoel Be'er Sheva. Lots of controversy coming out of there. And then we will get to the Holy Land Hoops portion, and we will run down Maccabi Tel Aviv's disastrous defeat to Red Star Belgrade in a game that they won, that Red Star won by 12, but it felt like it was about 24 points as the way they play. It was an absolutely disgraceful performance by Maccabi Tel Aviv. We'll get into that in a little bit. Of course, me, the Sports Rabbi, at the Sports Rabbi Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news in English and in Hebrew. Sports news coming from Israel. And of course, as we do every week, it is none other than Roei Shalom that comes on board. Of course, Roei Shalom on this podcast, he gives you the best of Israeli soccer. And we have some questions that filtered in over the evening hours of the Sports Rabbi, both soccer and basketball. So we'll get to that as well today. And this is going to be a lot of fun. This is a great podcast. Make sure, if this is your first time listening to us, make sure you subscribe, follow us, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you can find your podcast. Leave us the 5-star rating and, you know, listen to us every Friday. And of course, during the week, we have other great shows that come in. We have some great interviews. If you haven't listened, Jalen Reynolds was a recent guest of the Sports Rabbi. You can listen to him. There are so many great interviews out there. We're well over 200 shows, heading into the 250 zone. And we have some good guests coming up next week as well. Roei Shalom, how are you today?
Pretty good. Yeah, I'm just waiting for the game tomorrow of Israel-Scotland. It's just, I'm waiting for the rematch. I feel like it's like the third or fourth time they're going against each other.
It's like the 3,000th time they're going against each other.
And the crazier thing is it just feels like every game is more important than the last one, even though the last one was, you know, not the last one, but the one a year ago in Scotland was the really biggest important one so far.
For a Nations League ticket to the European Championships. That was pretty brutal. We should remind everybody it was a 0-0 draw after 120 minutes. And then Eran Zahavi steps up and misses a crucial penalty. Israel goes down in front of an empty Hampden Park in that game, Roei Shalom.
Yeah, and you know, this is their chance to come back
and show something else.
But as you said, and as we talked about it last week, it's just going to be harder with the fans, with the full Scotland stadium. And the Scotland fans are going to be ecstatic because they are a step away from going and taking this second place. So big game for them, big game for us. And let's see if we can finally come up big and, you know, come clutch, because that's not Israeli
not the modus operandi of the Israel national team. Now, let's just say this. Israel has a big problem, Roei Shalom, coming into this game. It's not in their scoring. That seems to be fine. It's not in their wingers that seems to be fine too. The midfield play seems fine also. It is the back line. And of course, Willy Rutenstarter plays with five in the back, three central defenders and two wing backs. Central defenders right now, a big problem for Israel. They may sign me up to play one of those positions. the offensively challenged sort that I am. But they are in trouble. All week long, Willy Rutenstarter has played different combinations in the back to see which would be the best. It seems that Joel Abuchana will start in the back. That's what it seems. Of course, there could be changes to it. But Roy Shellam, there is definitely some issues on that back line, isn't there?
Yeah, and it's been for years, pretty much since Tal Ben Chaim, that is now the defensive coach under Willy Rutenstarter. Since he left, you know, this defense is having a hard time, and we'll see what, you know, Willy Rutenstarter that had time to get ready for this game and, you know, just learn from the mistakes over the years. It's not like a one-time thing, the 5-0 defeat to Denmark. It's been for years. So let's see how Tal Ben Chaim, that came into this job pretty much just before Denmark, what he has to change, how he can help these players and the injuries, you know, around the national team and you know, is Idan Nachmias from Maccabi Tel Aviv injured or not? Is he ready to go? Is Dol Peretz, that usually plays as a midfielder, is he gonna convert to playing in the center back? As Neil Beaton pretty much did over the years, you know, Neil Beaton was a central defender, and went back. It started pretty much with the national team that he went back to play the central defender because we didn't even have anyone. So are we going to see that with Dor Peretz and lose his qualities as strong?
So if I can interject over there, I really doubt that Dor Peretz is going to play over there. And it seems that Willy Rutenstarter wants to keep him in the midfield and knows that he's important over there. I mean, I think that if, you know, let's go through the squad over here. We think Ofri Marciano is probably going to start, right? He's not going to start. Ariel Harish isn't on the squad anymore because he got hurt, and we'll talk about that. Itamar Nitzan is just, you know, not up to the level. He's not going to start in that game. And Marciano knows the Scottish players. He's going to start in this game despite basically not sniffing any time at Feyenoord. That's number one. On the defense, go ahead.
Yeah, we just should note that Daniel Peretz, Maccabi Tel Aviv's young talent, is on the squad for the first time. Yes. And they made a decision of him coming to the national team over him
under-21s
in the under-21, so that was interesting. But again, as you said, Ofri Marciano is going to get the start.
Yeah, and speaking of the under-21s, just to let everybody know, they were winning 2-1 late against Germany. Then Germany brought in their Bundesliga young stars, and they beat Omer Neron, who played actually really well, and they fell 3-2 in Germany. Now your wing backs are going to be without doubt Eli Das and San Menachem, without a question. And your three central defenders are going to be Hatem El Hamid. It's going to be Ofri Arad. And it's going to probably be Joel Abuchana. And I'm going to talk about Joel Abuchana here for a minute. Now, this is a player that really...
El Hamid, wait. Yeah. Oh, just one thing. El Hamid is out. So it's Iyad Abu Abid.
Sorry. Excuse me. I meant Abu Abid. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Apologies over there. I was just, you know, that's the problem with the central defenders. They keep dropping like flies over here. Now, Joel Abuchana, this is the way I look at it. Willy Rutenstarter identified him as being a critical part to this national team group. He's been with the national team now for a few years. He's been on pretty much every trip. He's played a little bit, has not played well. He's played occasionally semi-decently in some of the other games. To me, this is a make-it-or-break-it game now for Joel Abuchana. This is the reason why Joel Abuchana has been with the national team over the last few years. This is the time where he has to step up and perform. You don't bring this guy along for the last few years with the national team and then not use him. This is your opportunity to use him because he's been in the system. You want to see him play. Now, obviously, this is a huge game. He's going to have – I cannot see any situation where he's not going to start him. Now, if he does not perform, he does not ever belong to come back on this national team. I mean, if he does not play well, that's the end. You might as well just put the experiment away and not waste the spot on the team for him. That's the way I see it. This is a guy that they've invested in, that they've brought along. If he's going to play, this is the time. This is time to put up or shut up. If you can't play or you don't play well, that's it. This is your last chance. That's the way I see this over here. Maybe I'm a little too harsh on it, but sorry. This is why you've been working with this player for so many years.
But wait. Joel Abukana's first position on the field, on the pitch, is the right wing back, which is pretty much Eddie Dasa's job until he decides to quit, because right now Eddie Dasa is just out of his world the way he's been playing and how he's been showing up in Vitesse and in the national team. So he's pretty much the second wing back behind Eddie Dasa. So just to put it there. Now, to put him...
But still, he has played. He has, in the national team system, he has played as a central defender.
So he's been playing. Yeah, so he's been playing as a central defender. He played also as the left wing back, and he didn't look good there when he played. And the question is, how much can he adjust to this new position? I'm trying to think about myself. I play softball. And trying to think of me playing, for example, a position that I don't play usually. I play center field. So, if you put me in the outfield, I'll probably be okay. But now if you put me like at shortstop, God knows what happens. So that's just my thought about Joel Abukana and making that adjustment. But yeah, they did have time to work with him over time, as you're talking about it. And this is going to be the biggest stage for him, because it seems like he's going to start over Idan Akhmias. And you know what? If this works, if this three defensive backs of Joel Abukana, Nir Biton, and Ofri Arad, this is the future of this national team. Ofri Arad was supposed to pretty much like get this job over the past couple of years. I want to say 2 years since he's the anchor with Planić in Maccabi Haifa. He hasn't played well since his dad passed away just a month ago. And we can understand why, but this is his big stage to show on the national team. And if this works, we're going to be in a good spot going forward, because we've found our offense pretty much with, the combination of Zehavi, Manolo Solomon, Dabur, Weissman, Lira Bada, that is up next, and we'll talk about him in a bit. And the midfield, that right now it's Bibras. It's not going to be Bibras for much longer, but Bibras, Dor Peretz, if it's Muhammad Abu Fani, if it's Dan Glazel. So there is the combination. If it's Gadi Kinda, then might even,
Gadi Kinda's not give.
Yeah, so.
Let's be honest.
He's not starting.
Okay, he's not starting. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at the midfield, right? Dor Peretz is going to, he's a lock. Bibras Nakau is a lock. And Nir Biton is a lock. Nir Biton's a lock, and Manor Solomon's a lock. And then they're going to start Lorenzo Javi up front. That's what it's going to be. Now, if I'm the national team, I don't start Bibras Nakau, and I start Leo Labada and Zahavi up front. Now, they're not going to take that chance. They're not going to take that chance because they're on the road. They're playing away. But to me, Leo Abada should be starting in this game for every single reason that they're playing in Scotland. He knows the other players. He's playing for Celtic, which used to be a fine, prestigious club and has kind of fallen off their ways in the past few years. But he is used to what is going to go on there. To me, you start Leo Labada. You start him. And you know what? You want to know what's something cool? Let me tell you something cool, Roy Shalom. You know what I saw when I was driving home last night around past midnight from Tel Aviv after that disastrous Maccabi Tel Aviv game? You know what I saw?
I want to say maybe you were in traffic in restrictions or something.
No. I'll tell you what I saw.
Oh, okay.
I was waiting at the traffic light to get onto the ILM to head home. And all of a sudden the kids go, "Oh my God, look at that big, huge billboard with Leo Labat." I'm like, "What? What are you talking about?" And I looked out to the right and there is this massive, mega sized on the side of a building Adidas ad with Leo Labata in a Celtic uniform blazing in the right off of the highway. Okay. It was so freaking cool. Okay. You know what I said to myself? This is really cool. This is really, really cool. I get to see a real life superhero soccer player in this massive mural. Okay. Massive ad on the side of the highway off this building. Now, you know, we've seen Aaron Zahavi in ads, but never in like uniform, right? We've seen him for one, you know, places that he's, places that he, the stores that he sponsors, whatever it is there. But that was really cool. Okay. To me, that was super, super, super cool. It was, I was thinking, wow, I feel like I'm not in Israel for a moment. Like this is something so non-Israeli, something so different. Right, because we know that at the end of the day, Leo Labata is not a household name here in Israel. We know about him; the fans know about him. You know, people that are soccer aficionados know him. But to see him in such a place that millions of people literally will see every single day—that to me is so freaking cool, Roy Shalom.
He's our next superstar. You know, him and Manor are supposed to be the one and two, or the 1A. 1B type of stars for this national team and Israeli soccer in general the next couple of years. But, you know, maybe he'll start in. He won't. Let's put it out there. He's not supposed to start where he's supposed to come off the bench and be like this super sub. And I like this for this specific game because he can give something. He can change the whole game plan in the 60th minute and just, you know, change everything. And that's what's good about having this pretty much deep bench offensively at least. And we saw Willy Rothenstein try to like change things and change formations against Denmark. It didn't work. But we might, you know, at some point see that on Saturday night and you know, it might work. Because Scotland just knows how we play. You know, there's nothing to change unless, you know, Willy Rothenstein just comes out of the nowhere with a new formation. It's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, I really doubt it.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
If it would have happened, it would have happened already against Austria, and we didn't see it against Austria. So just we're assuming and pretty much confident that he's going to stay with this. But, you know, Lirabada, this might be his, you know, his come along game that he just shows that he belongs and he'll come as a sub. And we've seen what he's doing, what he's been doing in Scotland, and he just can continue pretty much in the same spot.
Yeah, listen, of course, we're on here with the Sports Rabbi, Roy Shalom, Sports Rabbi Show, talking about the Israel national team. Bottom line is, and then we should move on to the league games for a few minutes. Bottom line is, for Israel, this is a must-win game. I don't think, like you said, we're going to see anything new over here. I think we're going to see a team that knows how to play, but they know how to play in Hampden Park, in an empty Hampden Park, and there's going to be over 50,000 people in that stadium. We saw how Israel played away from home against Denmark in a packed stadium. That was a 5-0 loss. Now, I'm not saying Scotland is Denmark's quality, but it's not easy to play in a full stadium. To think that we're going to get another 0-0 draw or 1-1 draw like the last two games there, I think would be foolish. I'm picking over here a 3-1 Scotland victory. I really just don't see Israel winning this game. It's so hard to win on the road. It's so, so difficult. I don't think people really understand it, that when you go into these environments, it's just very hard. And they're going to have a tough time. That's going to be a rabid crowd. We know that they're not exactly big friends of Israel. It's going to be a rough atmosphere. I think that Willie Rutenstunner has warned his players. They know exactly what they're about to get themselves into. They understand the pressures that they're going to be faced and the mental challenges that they're going to have, but it's still just a lot. I know this week everybody's been so high on Israel, and people are going to be here in Israel, and people are going to be very disappointed. I think people are going to walk out of there. This is it. This is going to be the big game. And you know what? I think that Willie Rutenstunner did a great job, and he said all the right things. And yes, we're going there to win. Those are the things you have to say. You have to build confidence. The team trusts him. I just don't see them winning this game. Sorry.
Well, what's your optimistic scenario?
My optimistic scenario? I mean, listen.
Do you see them?
Winning? I don't see them winning the game. I could be wrong, right? It's not like I'm an expert and I know exactly what's going to happen to me, happen out on the field. But I mean, I don't see it. I just don't see it. If they can get a draw, that would be obviously a very good result. But it's not even that good. Where does it put us? It still leaves us in third place in the group with very little chance of moving into the top spot. I mean, it could still happen. Don't get me wrong. Basically, if we win in Austria and they drop points to Denmark, that is what will happen at the end of the day. But I just don't see it. Even if we do get that playoff spot, which would be a huge accomplishment, they're not going to get out of that playoff spot. Let's just be honest of where we are. Mm-hmm. Will it be a big step for Israeli football? Should we win in Scotland? Yes. If we finish in second spot in this group, it would be a massive accomplishment for the Israel national team, and Willie Rutenstunner should be congratulated for it. I think we're going to have to really see Willie Rutenstunner. This is his time to shine. He had to do some things that he wasn't, normally had to do, and that is just basically trying to find a way to get around Scotland and win that game. He's going to have to find a way to do it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's something new for him, where he's come out and said, we have to win this game. Beforehand, he would say, we have to remember where we are and we have to be modest and all that. For him to go out and say, yeah, we need to win these, 3 points, and, I'm confident. And then he had this whole issue, obviously, with defenders. He's being put to the test here. This is going to be a huge, huge test. His legacy with the Israel national team program may hinge on this one game right now. And then, of course, right. even if they win this game, they're going to still have to, win the next 3 games. So, and then you're asking a team to basically take over 20 points. And for Israel to take over 20 points in a qualifying campaign, that would be earth-shattering.
Yeah. I'll say this. Our problem is we both know we're starting with a 1-0 deficit, at least. That's how I see it, because just – our defenders over time just have shown that we can't keep a clean sheet. But that's our first problem. So we're down 1-0. That's how I see it. And now the question, how much can Manor Solomon and Zahavi score? that's the question. Can the Scottish team finally stop? They've been able to stop our offense throughout the last couple of years. So that's a bit worries me. And that's why, my best scenario is us winning 2-1. The worst scenario is pretty much losing 3-1, as you said.
Right.
There's something that I want to say. I want to believe that we can do it. And this is when we say, finally, we have a bunch of men showing up and doing it. But this defense is just too shaky. I'd say they're going to lose 2-1.
Well, you're being very generous, I think. You just said, yeah, you just contradicted yourself. Shaky defense is 2-1. That's very optimistic, my friend.
Because I don't see Scotland, with the way they've been playing, scoring too much. The fans can give a goal. And let's say our defense and their fans, 1.5 goals. And then, they'll somehow push another. That's how I see it, statistics-wise.
I think Scotland's going to come in hot and heavy right from the get-go. They're going to want to try to bamboozle the Israel defense. And then we've seen that be successful many times, where the other team just like applies all kinds of pressure right off the bat. And especially in that type of environment, this could get ugly very quickly. Sorry.
Yeah, but Scotland, they're not, you know, even Austria.
But they're good. They have players who play in the Premier League, don't they?
Right. Yeah, I can't say that they don't have the right players to do it. Yeah. So, but again, they're like this boring team that gets the right score and whatever. So that's about Scotland. One thing about Willie Rosenshiner that, you know, at the start of the campaign, he said third place is our goal. And when I looked at this group, I said, yeah, third place should be our goal. And we're pretty much there right now with Austria looking from behind. But I want to just talk about the Israel national team coaches over the years. We always had, every campaign, we had this amazing game. If it's the win over Bosnia, if it's, you know, the win over Austria, pretty much that's campaign with Andy Herzog. And this time was also the win against Austria. So the question, and then after that big win, I think it was back then with Eddie Gutman, we had the same with Bosnia. So we have this Bosnia and Austria phobia to be those guys. But the question is now is, can Willie Rosenshiner get that second win that none other coach has ever been able to do it? You know, if it's Elisha back then, Eddie Gutman and Andy Herzog. And then this is the switch we need to see. You know, we are playing good against the Faroe Islands and against Moldova. You know, that's not, even that is not, you know, we should put it out there like as a sure thing over the years that we've been playing bad, but we have been playing good this campaign against those teams. You know, Denmark is out of everyone's league pretty much here. And then, you know, the disappointment draw against Scotland at home. But other than that, he's had a good campaign. And I'm hearing rumbles of, you know, this being his big game. And if he loses it or whatever, he's out. Let's put it in perspective. Like, remember what was the goal at the start of the year, of the campaign, I want to mean. Because this campaign is going to be just, you know, over 6 months of playing or 7 months of playing. So this is his big test, as you said. Again, he's there to pretty much bring Israel to the next level. That's why he was brought here, not as a coach, as, you know,
as taking the organization to the next level. Roy Shalom, let's move on. Of course, we're on here with the Sports Rabbi, Roy Shalom, wrapping up the Israeli soccer and basketball situation here. Let's very, very briefly look at the league. I'm going to run through the scores, and then we'll hit the big games. Nofa Galil, Hapoel Tel Aviv 2-2, Petah Tikva 2-0 over Hapoel Haifa. Beitar Jerusalem, Hapoel Kiryat Shmona 1-1, and Beitar Jerusalem was just a mess. Netanya with a big win, 3-1 in Bnei Sakhnin, and there was all kinds of extracurricular rock-throwing activities by both of the team's fans. Hapoel Chadera 2-1 over Ashdod as Menachem Koretzky picks up yet another 3 points. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Hapoel Jerusalem. Maccabi Tel Aviv is just brutal. They have like zero offense, offensively challenged. They left the car in the shop. They can't get to out of first gear right now. They score in the 85th minute off a nice, it was a nice play. But boy, oh boy, I mean, Hapoel Jerusalem, 5 games without a goal right now. It's a miracle that they have 3 points. The Maccabi Tel Aviv looked bad. Eolon Almog is suspended for 3 additional games after his descent to the referee. Finally, the game of the week, Be'er Sheva, Maccabi Haifa, in what was an absolutely crazy game. 2-1 winners, Roni Levy's Be'er Sheva. Maccabi Haifa go up 1-0. They then have a man to the good as Roy Gordana sent off, and they just can't take advantage of the situation. The referee was all over the place in this game, Roy Shalom. He had no control. Gali Boyce did. He was absolutely disaster zone. All 3 goals scored on penalties. Be'er Sheva gets a couple of penalties late in the game. We're able to turn the tide against Haifa. Haifa loses another man to a red card near the end of the game. But it was just a brutal performance. And I think one analyst said this, that Ronnie Levy saw that the referee was just like totally, totally not with it. And he decided to just hammer him and hammer him and hammer him and hammer him the entire second half of the game. And listen, the pressure works. This referee had no business being in this game. And it was shown, and it was a total mess. Total mess of a game. And congratulations to Ronnie Levy. Takes the win.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations to Ronnie Levy, because if you would have had like a prediction stat going throughout the game of, you know, what are the percentages of winning and losing, you know, I think at some point after the red card, and he had like 10% of winning this game pretty much. And he got, I don't want to say lucky, but yeah, he got some help out there, and we've been waiting for this game, and we're over these three games of Maccabi Haifa, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Hapoel Be'er Sheva, Maccabi Tel Aviv, and Hapoel Be'er Sheva, Maccabi Haifa, and Be'er Sheva came up on top, you know, with two wins, as crazy as it sounds. And they are in first place, so that's kudos for them about it. And you know, they went to Sami Ofer. It didn't look good at start, you know, especially with the penalty that they've allowed. And Haifa was all over them in the first couple of minutes of the game. So it looked towards Maccabi Haifa, as we predicted. But then, you know, someone threw us a curveball. And with the Gordana red card send off, and Haifa just couldn't pound them down to the ground. And the second you don't do that,
Haifa, Maccabi Sheli. Oh, baby.
And they just couldn't, you know, their offense right now is struggling. You know, it started so well with the qualifier for the conference league, that we said, wow, Maccabi Haifa has the offense, but we're now seeing how much Nikita Rukavica, how much they're missing Nikita Rukavica, how Dean David and Donio and Ben Sal just are not that type of player as Nikita Rukavica is. And again, Rukavica hasn't really shown up for Be'er Sheva yet. And time will say how he's going to be over there. But, you know, Haifa's offense right now, and we always talked about their defense that is not perfect, I'll say it like that, especially with the way Ofri Arad has been playing over time and without Netta Lavi. And Netta Lavi is just so crucial for this team. And he's missing, and he's pretty much the engine of this team.
Yeah, he's the glue in the middle of the field. They're missing him. There's no question. By the way, you should know that we both went 3-4 this week. Amazingly, I can't believe I had three wins. I looked through it. I had to double check it. I was like, I actually had three wins this week. I was like thinking, how did I do that? Because boy, oh boy, it didn't look good going into it. But listen, Maccabi Haifa, they're having problems. Barak Bachar's having problems, and he's not saying the right things on TV afterwards. Got to be careful.
Yeah, he's a bit, I don't know. Is the, I don't want to say like the cockiness, you know. He has it at times that he's just like, I know everything, I'm in control, give it to me, like, all good. Like, and sometimes he's losing it.
Yeah. He needed, you know what he needed? He needed to call a timeout in like the 80th minute.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
That's what he needed to do.
And he's, you know, he usually has a lot of control of his teams. But it seemed like, you know, Ronnie Levy outplayed him in the second half. And the crazy thing is, how did Ronnie Levy outplay him? He changed, you know, he took out Rukavica and he changed and he put in Yadav Boabi that scored two
Yeah,
with penalties sort of and you know, you look at
he's a good player.
Yeah, and he is, you know, he can play as a central back and as a right wing. He's not really good as a right wing, and that's why old Dadia got the start for them. But as a central back, he's pretty good. And he went to, you know, he came in the second half. He went to shoot two penalties in a row against Josh Cohen. That is a pretty good penalty.
Yes, he's one of the best. One of the best.
And with a lot of quietness around it, he just hit both of them. And you know, when he came to shoot the first one, I'm like, yeah, the ball beat, seriously?
Yeah, no, I think we all said that. We all said that. Let's be honest. We were like, what the heck's going on over here?
And even in the second time, I'm like, again? And yes, again, he came clutch twice. And from what, you know, we've heard, he's one of the best shooters, you know, the penalty shooters for Beersheva, other than Ansah, that is pretty much their number one, but he came out. So just wanted to change everything. At halftime, he made the adjustment. Again, we're seeing a different Ronny Levy here. He's adjusting. He's playing around. He's not afraid to make changes. And he feels this team a lot right now. He knows what he has. He knows his chips. And he's just moving his chips around. And right now, it's going out amazingly well. And coming into the break pretty much with winning back-to-back games like that, you know, this team, they don't want to talk about championship. And yeah, we're the top contender, but they look good. They look good up there. And they're alone. You know, Maccabi Haifa and Maccabi Tel Aviv are down in the ranks. And this is their time to run away with it early, because Maccabi Haifa and Maccabi Tel Aviv will come back at some point.
Will they?
Yeah.
At least Maccabi Tel Aviv.
They will.
Both
of them. Let's talk just about Maccabi Tel Aviv for a second.
Okay. Let's talk about Maccabi. And then we'll go from the football club to the basketball club.
Exactly. So it looked really bad for 85 minutes. And then Eduardo Guerrero, that pretty much has been nothing the past couple of months since he came back from Panama, you know, showed his potential again.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with Guerrero, that you just can't trust him every time. But what we can say is, maybe it's time for Van Leeuwen just to play with it a bit, because he's playing his same 11 every single game. Every single game, he's with the same 11 going in, and they look good at times. But you just saw against the Apollon Jerusalem that, you know, they pretty much went to sleep and couldn't get anything through. And you know, at least they didn't allow a score. And that was, you know, against Apollon Jerusalem, it's not that hard, as we can see. And they did have that clean sheet with, again, another amazing stop by Daniel Perez, saying that out loud. But this offense needs creativity. They need, you know, Kuvas was supposed to be that guy. Kuvas is a bit, you know, he showed that one game, and now he feels a bit, you know, not in game shape. Kudnikovsky has been great, but and again, and also Perica, that, you know, he scored three games in a row, and you can't expect him to score. Yeah, you can't expect him to score every time.
They need some people to score, boy.
Exactly.
Power failure over there.
Yeah, so if Perica doesn't score, you need someone else.
Yeah.
And that's Maccabi Tel Aviv's problem right now, because they pretty much are dependent on him. So Guerrero scoring, that's something that Maccabi Tel Aviv and their fans would be really happy to see him get into the mix. You know, playing more in the lineup, because right now there's pretty much this set lineup and that's it. Like, no one's moving. You know, he's playing with Yaney. Is Eden Shamir supposed to play there? Maybe he should play there more. You know, it just, he needs to play around a bit with his offense and give some other alternatives, because he's just playing the same way every time. And you know, it's fine to believe in your philosophy, but okay, you're doing that with a philosophy. So find ways with your philosophy to score, to do different type of combinations of, you know, passes and movement that will give you that better opportunity. Because it doesn't even look like, you know, it looks like 11 guys are going out there pretty much knowing what they're supposed to do, and let's score. It's hard, you know, even if, you know, playing against 11 that can't do anything, or the weaker team in this league with Apollo Jerusalem. So I just expect this break, and this is exactly like the basketball team, and we're going to talk about it.
Let me just intersect here for a second. What player we did not mention in the national team before, and I think we have to just raise it here with the Maccabi Tel Aviv and spend a minute on it, is Idan Nachmias. Now, Idan Nachmias is on the squad with the national team. He did not make the squad for the Maccabi Tel Aviv's last game. They said he's injured. The word out of Israel camp is that he's fine. There was a lot of controversy over this call-up. Now, for Maccabi Tel Aviv, he scored a, you know, pretty big goal a few weeks ago. He's been good. He's been excellent. I don't see him starting, you know, for the national team. He hasn't really been part of the national team program. He's been in, you know, he's been around, but not to that aspect. Obviously, they don't want to threaten him. There was a lot of back and forth in the media between Bashir Van Leeuwen and the Israel national team brass. I got to tell you, I was pretty surprised to see him get on that airplane. So how injured he really is, it doesn't look to be that injured. I don't think he's going to make it or break it. But that whole story was just very odd. The whole story was just very strange, Roy Shalom. But wasn't it weird?
Yeah. Yeah. And it happens like pretty much every campaign, like one or two times that we go through that type of thing. I don't know. It's just, it's too complicated for me.
Yeah.
You know, that's the.
Yeah. And I didn't really want to bring it up because I don't think he's going to play. And there's going to be a lot of controversy if somebody comes back injured. And we saw that with Golasa. There always seems to be somebody that comes back injured.
Last time it was Golasa. And it's usually with Maccabi Tel Aviv around.
Yes.
There's something.
Yeah. It's weird. So I just wanted to bring that up. It's just a strange situation over there.
Yeah.
So let's move over now to the Maccabi Tel Aviv portion in the basketball side, Rabbi Shalom. Of course, you're listening to the Sports Rabbi Show, Sports Rabbi at the Sports Rabbi Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com, the latest and greatest news in English and Hebrew. Of course, Rabbi Shalom, breaking it all down for you. The last bit of the show, we're going to spend on the Maccabi Tel Aviv basketball team. Now, Maccabi Tel Aviv won last week by the hair of their chinny chin chin, 69-68 over Bayern Munich. They had to win by hook or by crook, and they did. Now, if they did not have Scotty Wilbekin on the team last week, they get blown out by who knows how many points. They don't have Scotty Wilbekin on the team this week, they get blown out by even further who knows how many points. Not to say that Scotty Wilbekin was a superstar in this game. He was not. But boy, Maccabi Tel Aviv against Red Star Belgrade looked absolutely abominable. They were awful. They were terrible. They were disgraceful. They were an embarrassment. To score 10 points in the first quarter, to score whatever it was, 17 points in the second quarter, 10 points in the third quarter, fourth quarter we can just throw out already. Could you imagine over the course of the first 30 minutes they had 37 points? They held Belgrade held them to 37 points in 30 minutes at home in front of over 11,000 fans. So now, the story of the fans making a big difference for the team, well, you know what? You can't use that because that obviously didn't help them one iota. Red Star Belgrade came into that game. They played extremely well. They played smart basketball. They played good basketball. They played basketball like the game is supposed to be played, with a lot of no-name players, except for Nate Walters, who comes back to haunt his former team. Luka Mitrovic, a friend of the Sports Rabbi, you can read an interview that I did with him this week at sportsrabbi.com, both in English and in Hebrew. Luka Mitrovic with a great game. Nikola Kalinic, a great European basketball player, he put up a great game. But it was everybody else, backdoor cuts that the players couldn't identify. They fell asleep at the wheel the entire game. Yanis Roupalos had no answers. Now, in the press conference afterwards, I was dying to ask him, what did you do for a week that you were practicing? Last week you said you didn't want to have any practice games, that right now we have to practice, and we have to practice, and we have to make up for the time. Well, you practiced for a week. What did you practice exactly? Now, the press conference, I didn't ask him that. I mean, I asked him, I said, do you think it was a mistake that you didn't end up playing a game in this week of practice to put up your team against some live bodies that are going to give you some kind of competition? And then he went off saying that, we only had five practices with the team, which I guess he was referring to before the EuroLeague season started, and we need to practice and we have to practice and on and on. And, I'm not making up excuses, but the corona was a reality, and that's things back. The fans don't want to hear about that anymore. I hate to break it to Yanis Roupalos. Nobody wants to hear about it. No other team is using the corona as an excuse. There was a champion last year. There were 8 teams that made the playoffs last year. Some of them were affected by corona. That's something that you have to deal with. Now, the fans are getting tired of hearing about corona, not so much that people were even calling for his ouster at the end of the game. Okay, now I haven't heard that. Yanis Habaita started to hear that. Thousands of fans left the game early. They only lost by 12, but it was 75-63, but it was, that fourth quarter was a joke. Matthias Lesort just poured in points, any which way. I could have scored to that point. And he even said that during the press conference, Matthias Lesort did, that, the game was well over by the time they got into the fourth quarter. So there's no fooling anybody here. They were absolutely a disgraceful performance. There's nothing else to say. Yanis admitted to it. But now, Roy Shalom, they have 2 games on the road against Milano where I don't see any situation where they're going to win that game. And then they play against Asphel at Villarban. And unfortunately, that's a game that they should win, and they're not going to win. They're going to come back to Israel 1-3 to face Panathinaikos, who won yesterday, I might add, against Fenerbahce. And there are going to be a lot of unhappy customers. Last year, there weren't the customers in the seats until the end of the season. They were just happy to see basketball. Well, they are not going to really accept a 1-3 team going into Panathinaikos, where they're going to have to start digging out of a hole again. They've got to figure out a way to put this team together. And they did not play basic basketball. They were all over the place. The Red Star had a brilliant game plan. Nate Walters coming back to, haunt his former team, just murdered them as everybody else does. Last week, if Maccabi loses to Bayern last week, we would have said, well, look at how Othello Hunter and Deshaun Thomas did Maccabi Tel Aviv in, right? I mean, let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. That would have been the story. We've seen it by Keith Langford. We've seen it by Stefan Lazme coming back to haunt them. We've seen it every time. I mean, it's like you just name the player, name the ex-Maccabi player. They do it all the time. I'm sorry for ranting, but this is what the facts are. Red Star played fundamentally good basketball. Maccabi did not. Fundamental basketball in the EuroLeague is going to win you games. You don't need very big splashy plays. Backdoor cuts, good passes, hustle. Maccabi did not play well defensively. Once they started, they fell asleep at the wheel to start the game. It was 8-0 after about like 2 minutes. And that set the
tone. It was 10-0.
That was 10-0, excuse me. But that set the tone, right?
Yeah. So I'll give you this take, and it's much deeper than just this game. It goes more back. And it goes back about Yanis Foropoulos' game planning, and this is a summer thing. You go into the summer and say, okay, these offensive schemes, defensive schemes did not work. Let's go to the clipboard and change things. Maybe I should run an offense with this. Let's run an offense. Okay, but I have these plays, and let's formations and going through that. And he just, you know, I saw a glimpse of it, you know, a glimpse of it last week, you know, moving the ball more and those type of things and having an offense running. And this week we went back to last year, exactly the same. Scotty Wilbekin with the ball. Scotty's against four players and he is superhero Scotty. And as much as I think Scotty is a really good EuroLeague player, you know, people will say elite after he also won last week's Player of the Week award that you pretty much called it out.
Well, you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to figure
that
out.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna take credit for that.
So when that comes to that point that Scotty's playing against four, this Maccabi Tel Aviv has no chance. Now we saw exactly what Maccabi Tel Aviv is supposed to do with Red Star. They were just, every player was open because the ball was moving. The ball was moving in and out, you know, and that's exactly pretty much what Maccabi Tel Aviv was supposed to do. You brought in Nunnally, that comparing to him to Elijah, he can't put the ball on the floor, and that's okay. As long as you use Nunnally for what Nunnally is, and Nunnally is a great 3-and-D player. That has shown up in EuroLeague before and wherever he's played. That's what he knows to do. You can't expect a player to do something he's not. You have Jalen Reynolds. He's really, really good in shooting from mid-range and you know, doing it inside. He's not a good defender, and that's okay. But, you know, you get ready for that. And you know what? You do the plays for Jalen.
I know they did not set plays. Listen, they have nothing.
And
do you know how many points Yiftach Ziv and Keenan Evans had combined last night in 27 minutes?
They're not. No, that's the whole point.
And again, I'm not blaming them. I'm not going to blame them. They each had two shots. But that can't happen.
It can happen if Yiftach Ziv is passing 12 assists per night, and that's the whole point. If you have a point guard. And you say, okay, you're not shooting tonight, or you're not shooting at all, but you're distributing the ball, you're making things move, you're running the offense, and you're playing the defense the way Yiftach Ziv is supposed to run the defense and play defense and help Scotty out, because Scotty is not supposed to play defense. So you're fine, but there's no plan behind this. And this has been Giannis Varopoulos for 2 years now. You know, back then he had Walters that ran the offense that was in charge of making the ball move from hand to hand. And that's why back then Maccabi Tel Aviv was that good. And they had Elijah and they had Tyler Dorsey.
Well, he had Elijah again. He'll be cut by the Bucks, so they want to bring him back.
Yeah. No, but he's not coming back.
I know. I'm just
busting. So. No, I wish he would, because, you know, she could have maybe used him in a way. But this is his problem, and he's not going to change. And that's the unfortunate, because I thought he might be understanding that he needs to go back to the chalkboard and run some plays and formations and play like that. And I've heard, he likes to run the game fast, and he wants to play hard defense and run fast breaks. That's fine, but play it. You know, if you have that game plan, it has to work. It means you have to have this defensive magician, you know, that is giving you this easy fast break points, and it just didn't happen. And now I'm going to blame it all on the coach. You know, I didn't want to do it. I don't want to do it. But at some point, we just need to bring it. Energy is not enough to win a basketball game. And I'm sorry, I also said it last week. The fans are not the factor here in the end of the day. Last week, they got lucky. They got lucky because Bayern Munich didn't play with, I want to say, 3-4 of their top players.
If they play with those players, Maccabi doesn't win. Maccabi, basically, it's Giannis Varopoulos' half task to find ways to win these games by hook or by crook. He did last week. He didn't this week. I understand that the corona was an issue. We all get that.
You stop can't, with the corona.
But you can't hear, like you know, here, you know, let me read you the quote here from him. I mean, it's just like, you know, he just doesn't want to use it as an excuse. Like he says, it's the corona, it's not an excuse, it's reality. I mean, like, and don't write it, because don't write it as an excuse. I don't want to talk about excuses, but listen, you could see already where the waves are going. The media is already, the headlines are Spiropoulos. One of the outlets
says it's on him.
Maccabi's going to be better. You know, Shai Hausman, stop with the gimmicks. Spiropoulos is hurting Maccabi Tel Aviv's development. You may be right. Those are all true. Now, listen, Oded Katash is waiting in the wings, baby. I mean, Oded Katash is just sitting there. If he's the right coach or the wrong coach, that I can't tell you. But he is unemployed right now. He's been doing some stuff with the Maccabi Tel Aviv youth department over the last month or so. He's not working, doesn't have a job. Coached in the EuroLeague last year, coached for Maccabi Tel Aviv about 13, 14 years ago. If he's ever going to be ready to coach Maccabi Tel Aviv on the big stage, it's going to be now. And I gotta say, if Maccabi Tel Aviv gets off to a bad start, they're going to pull the plug on Giannis. I don't see how they're going
to
keep
him. They have to.
They will have to. And they can't go through another season of what went on last year. They can't do it. The fans aren't going to buy it. They need to put people in the seats. They need fans in the building. Fans are back. They cannot have an uprising. You know, and that's nothing against Giannis. Okay, he's a great guy.
He is a great guy.
He's an excellent coach. He's tried everything he could. He was dealt a not a great hand over the last couple of years, but the excuses have to stop. I mean, the excuses really. We've got to stop the excuses here.
And I want to say this. You said he's an excellent coach. Wait about that. There's no way that you put Giannis Spiropoulos yesterday with Red Star and Red Star beats Maccabi. I'm sorry.
No, I don't think so either. But Red Star players, it's a different type of game. They play a totally different type of game. And you know what, Red Star?
They play a team game. That's what EuroLeague is.
Yes, they play a team game, and Maccabi Tel Aviv doesn't right now because they haven't had practice and because the corona allow them to go to the games. And it's true. Listen, I'm not going to be an apologist there for Giannis. It's all true. They had to cancel the thing. They thought they were going to have the season. Three mini tournaments in Europe that they were going to have proper preparation. They didn't have it. And that's it. And you got it, but you got to deal with the situation. And nobody wants
to. Do you truly believe that these three mini tournaments would have made something different?
Yes. I do.
Because they would have had
more time playing against teams. They would have had more time playing against. I do believe.
Seen the same thing there. In the preseason, just show up, and then the pressure would have been much more because they would have looked like crap. I'm sorry to say it like out loud. They would have looked exactly like they looked yesterday, and it's not about who they're playing and what it is. This team, instead of being, you know, pushing forward, being, you know, having your tempo and the team adjusting to you, they always adjust to the team plan, to the other team's plan, and then they play around it instead of the other team playing around their game plan. And that's where it starts. That's the problem. They're not playing any team play together. It doesn't matter if they would have played, you know, if I would have seen yesterday, and I want to put it out like this, and not only that, yesterday also against Bayern, and I saw it a bit against Bayern, a real small bit. If I would have seen any, you know, passes, if I would have seen a pattern of players moving, you know, seeing this rotation of, okay, I see them trying to go for a corner three of Nonali. Okay, I see them trying to play for Jalen inside. If I would have seen a glimpse of it, I wouldn't have been so, I wouldn't be criticizing as I am right now. But the way I see it, like this, this is exactly last year. What did you learn from last year? That you can't go one against four. Yes, you got lucky.
Oh, there was a number of those. Well, Lasorte went 1-4 in the paint in like the first half. was brutal. Oh my goodness! Like, look to kick the ball out somewhere. Oh my god, it was brutal.
And it was.
You know, talking to people around the club last night. Okay. They were just saying they don't even remember a loss like this. I mean, like, you know, there were bad losses, okay? They've had bad losses on the road against Red Star, against Galatasaray. They've had bad losses at home. There have been bad losses, but this is like one for the Pantheon, as they say. This was a bad, bad, bad loss that showed a lot of bad, bad things from Maccabi Tel Aviv. And again, as Giannis will say, you know, we can't cry yet and we have to, you know, it's only the beginning and all that. This was just not a very good performance, and one that obviously they do not want to repeat. Lance Fogel, one of the people that sent in a thing here, how long at least the Sporopolis have things go south fast in Europe? That leash, I think, is very, very short. I think that Chris Jones next week, and he's played well for Villarreal so far, both in the EuroLeague and in the league, has the potential of, I believe, if they lose that those two games next week and Chris Jones stars, I think you're going to see Sporopoulos out the door before they get to Panathinaikos and Odette on the sidelines against Panathinaikos. I know that sounds crazy, but they cannot take a chance of losing so early in the season and start digging out of that hole. The patience is not going to be there. It's just not going to be there. They will have to shake things up fast, and that's going to be the easiest thing to do. If they lose these two games, and Chris Jones, a player that obviously Sporopoulos did not care for, and that's clear. He said that in press conferences already, that, and he didn't say it by name, but, you know, when he's talking about Keenan Evans being a much better player and all that, well, I love Keenan Evans, and I do believe he's going to be a better player, but not right now. And Chris Jones is showing that I'm going to play with a chip on my shoulder, and I'm going to show Maccabi Tel Aviv that I am a player that
it's going to go off.
We already know. Let's just say it
right now.
But Roy Shalom, am I not crazy to say if they're 1-3 and Chris Jones goes off, that Sporopoulos is not coming back to Israel? They're going to not going to be coaching against Panathinaikos.
No. I see him at least surviving 6-7 games.
Really?
And then, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They, again,
I'm not so sure.
Maccabi Tel Aviv. Wait. Maccabi Tel Aviv knows how to fire their coaches and say goodbye. But they don't want to let go of Giannis so quickly. They've invested so much in him that, you know, they just can't afford to just let him go like that, and that's, you know, they just won't go that fast. Early in the season,
what happens Saturday night, Maccabi Tel Aviv, they open up the league season against Hapoel Haifa. If they get destroyed by Hapoel Haifa, if they basically fall asleep at the wheel, what are you thinking at that point?
It's a big game, but again, that's another red point on it. You know, it's just another start to start, you know, the leash is already going and starting right now. And if they lose to Haifa, the leash is just going to get shorter and shorter. But I just don't see them coming in against Panathinaikos with a different coach this early. Even if they go, you know, lose all of their games against until the Panathinaikos game, yeah, he's out. But I don't see them losing all Israeli league games and everything going on. And I'm not that sure that they're going to lose in Oslo. Oslo is a good team, but I'm not that sure.
They lost last year, just to remind you.
Yeah, I remember. But, you know,
they had to write that somehow up.
Yeah. They'll somehow – if there's a win they can scratch out, is there and say, oh, you see, we're good. Everything is fine. Everything's under control. And then he'll get another leash for three games.
We can all agree we see no situation where Maccabi Tel Aviv is going to beat Milan.
No way.
Our good friend Roy Yankelovich is going to be at that game, by the way. He's nice. You're saying he's going to see it a loss, correct?
Yeah. I don't see, unless Giannis build this amazing chalkboard with amazing plays and they're all doing it, but I don't see that coming in a week. I just don't see that happening in a week. It's something that you need to build throughout the summer. You need to send your players the game plan during the summer. The first thing the player needs to see is the game plan. He doesn't even need to see the coach. Understand what we're going to do. Understand the plays. Understand what's your role and how you're going to contribute. I don't think, you know, Derek Williams knows if he's supposed to score 12 points and shoot 4 shots and where he's supposed to shoot them and what he's supposed to contribute exactly. You need to build 80 points, at least 80 points. Tell me how you build it. Give me a list exactly how you're going to build.
Scotty's
not going to score 80. So I'm sorry. You know, that's what I've got to say to Giannis.
Oh, baby. Oh, man. I mean, if you're Oded Katash, you take over Maccabi Tel Aviv before Panathinaikos, what are you doing differently? Or if you're the coach,
right now I'm starting to build my game plan, understanding what I have with this team. And again, this is a team that to win, they need everyone to play well. Everyone. You need to find ways to play with Nunnally the way Nunnally has. Nunnally is supposed to defend the best player on the other side of the ball. That's what you need to understand the pros of every of your players, each one of them, and see how you use them and how somehow you help out Jalen Reynolds inside. How you need to play with Jalen Reynolds and with Scotty on defense. That's brutal. I'm sorry. Maybe they're not supposed to play together. Maybe Jalen is supposed to be the number two off the bench, coming in the same way he did with Byron, pretty much, and playing that number two offensive star off the bench, and him scoring 18 and Scotty scoring 18, and then you've got 36. And the way to 80 is easier with 36 points already when you have them. And then you need to find ways to play with Nunnally and to play with Zizic that will come back. And I've heard already, Zizic is not here and he was supposed to be the number two.
Right.
Like, seriously? Like, okay. And if he was the number two, so what? You were supposed to know that if Scotty goes down tomorrow for some reason, you still need to score 80. Find a way. Like, you're supposed to know. You're supposed to, okay, we're using Iftach in a way. We're using Keenan in a way. We saw Keenan score. This was Chris Jones. Chris took the ball alone and was able to score 18 points if he needed to, because that's what Chris.
You see, Red Star. I'll just bring it back to Red Star for a minute. Their players are so much bigger. It's just, every time they're bigger, they're taller. They were swarming on defense, and you know, even if Chris Jones would have played for Maccabi Tel Aviv yesterday, he's not scoring. Even if he takes the ball, he's not scoring.
Yeah, sorry about that. But it's just, you know, there's an amount that you can play around that. You just can't play around a team that is not playing a team play, and that just can't, you know, you can't put everything on Scotty. You can let Scotty throw play and score 25 points. That's fine. But play around him, play for him. And not Scotty going with 4 seconds left on the shot clock and trying to somehow shoot the floater that he puts in a lot. He puts it in a lot, we should say. He does hit it. But that's not, you know, that wasn't the plan for him to shoot that floater. So, Oded Katash, good luck.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Oded Katash right now, are you sharpening the knives? Are you sitting down with your pad and paper? Are you watching video? He's got to be, right?
Yes.
He's already put it together, his game plan, because if he does come into the team, he's basically going to inherit these players. There's going to be no changes. I mean, you know,
no.
maybe this is the team he's going to get. So he's got to figure out a way.
He already got the change with Lasort.
Right.
He got the change with Lasort, and the second change is the coach. Now, if they don't change the coach, it's someone, maybe they're going to bring in another player. But the second you change the coach, you're not going to change any of the players.
I think to wrap this up, it's one thing to lose, right? It's one thing to lose, and then it's one thing to lose the way that they did yesterday. And that's just unacceptable. Exactly. And that's just unacceptable from every which way, especially when they had a week to practice for this game. They had a week to prepare for this game. What did they do? That is still my outstanding question. Roe Shalom, where can we find you on the social networks?
So if you have anything to comment on what I had to say today, feel free to message me at rshalom on Twitter. You can also comment in the section below and under this podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you get this content, and just, you know, feel free to give your take how you see it, and challenge me, challenge us. You know, that's what I like to hear, different thoughts and go on them and see different perspectives. So really feel free to just message and say what you've got to say.
Of course, me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news in Israeli sports, both in English and Hebrew. Make sure you listen to this podcast, subscribe, you know, do all those good things. Leave us a good rating. Find us iTunes, Apple Podcasts, all those great places, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Roe Shalom, we hit a lot of topics in this this show, as we usually do. It was a lot of fun, I should say. It was
like
good.
Always.
It was a good mental breakdown for the Sports Rabbi to be able to discuss last night's proceedings that we saw. Saturday night will be interesting. Israel national team, Scotland, 7 p.m. Israel time. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Hapoel Haifa, Israeli league opener at 9 p.m. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Should be interesting week coming up. Could be a very, very, very interesting week coming up for Maccabi Tel Aviv and Israeli sports in general. Roe Shalom, great to have you on board. And I want to wish everybody out there a Shabbat Shalom to all.